See? Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're running about 6 minutes behind. I'd like to call the meeting of the Oro Valley Budget and Finance Commission to order. And Ronnie, if you'd be happy to give us a roll call.
Chairman Beasley. Vice Chairman Ashford.
Here.
Commissioner Newell.
Here.
Commissioner Salverson.
Here.
All right, and so with that, we have a quorum. Let me first, before we get started, just call a couple of things into the minutes, if I can. First, I want to get into the minutes that Commissioner Chuck Kill has resigned from the commission due to personal reasons. And I just wanted to indicate in the minutes that we appreciated his volunteerism and time that he's dedicated to the commission. He was here for the last 6 or 7 months, I believe. And so Commissioner Kill went ahead and submitted his resignation. He moved out of the area. I'm not exactly sure where, but anyway, I was happy to work with Chuck for quite a few meetings. Also, Chairman Beasley of this commission was scheduled to be here, but he decided to go on a bike ride yesterday, and that didn't turn out so well. And so he wound up having an accident. He's now in the hospital. And so he will be, I'm not sure how long he'll be there, but it may be a number of weeks before he's back working full time here with the commission.
Do we know what hospital?
Oro Valley.
Yeah.
As I get any updates, I'll let everyone know. With that, we're going to move to call to the audience. And at this time, I don't have any blue cards. All right, so why don't, while you're filling out that blue card, why don't I just ask, Kevin, do you have any report under your staff liaison that you wish to?
Sure. At the last meeting, the commission asked for an update on the CFO recruitment process. Okay. So I wanted to give you a little bit of an update there. The consultant has come out and interviewed management, peers, and staff, trying to get an idea of what the ideal candidate would look like. And the position has been posted. First review is December 16th, and then the schedule is to have interviews sometime in mid-January.
Okay.
So that's where we're at on the recruitment process for the CFO.
Great.
And then the second item that I had was the commission also asked for an update of where we're at on the audit. We still do not have a draft of the financial statements. That's nothing to be concerned about. The auditors are still working on it, and we do anticipate that we'll bring the audit report to the commission in the December meeting.
Okay. All right. In that regard, the draft statements, do you know approximately how many weeks before they'll be handing it over to you?
We would really need to get them in about 2 weeks in order to get it on the agenda for the commission. So I'm hoping that we would have the draft statements within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, do they give you a full set of statements and all of the footnotes? Or?
Yes, it'll be a complete comprehensive annual financial report. So that's governments do a what we call a CAFR, and it's the financial statements, the footnotes, there's a statistical section, and then a management's discussions and analysis.
Okay.
So it'll be the full document that we'll present to the commission.
As I recall from last year's, it's quite voluminous. So, yes, you're right. It would be good to have it a couple of weeks beforehand.
Yes.
Okay. Kevin, anything else to report?
That's everything for my report.
Any questions from the commissioners? Okay. I'm going to bounce back up to call to the audience. And Robert, you've submitted a topic for discussion. Do I need to read the call to audience instructions, or have you done this before?
I've done this before.
So I don't need to do that.
No.
Right. Let me read them anyway, just okay. So it's into the to the record. This is a call to the audience. A member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on the matters raised during this call to the audience. And so you want to go ahead and speak?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, or if you'd like to stand
I'm going to talk about the golf course improvement financing. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So my name is Rob Wanzik. I've been a resident of Oro Valley for 25 years. I realize that you cannot address me real time or answer any questions, but for the record, I do have some comments and questions for the commission, and specifically Chairman Beasley. Fortunately, sorry about Mr. Beasley's accident. He's unable to be here. At any rate, at the last commission meeting on October 15th, motions were made as follows. Number one, the Finance and Budget Commission recommends to the Town of Oro Valley Council that if the financial targets as forecasted by the Town of Oro Valley for a 36-hole program, as identified in the approved council motion dated October 2nd, 2019, are not met in the next three fiscal years, then the Town of Oro Valley will require the contributing homeowner associations, golf members, to make up excess losses, capping the Town of Oro Valley subsidy at $750K per annum. In addition, all expenditures for golf should be on a pay-as-you-go basis with no borrowing allowed. Of course, you realize that the October 2nd motion passed by the council specifically excluded pay-as-you-go. Please explain to me what your basis and analysis for this motion, why the three-year time frame, why the $750K, more important, what Arizona statute allows you or Oro Valley Council to compel a homeowners association to contribute any Oro Valley to any Oro Valley town operation? What is your basis and analysis for only allowing pay-as-you-go for capital expenses? Did you evaluate other options? Did you ask for or have input from the town staff? Number two, the Finance and Budget Commission recommends to the Oro Valley Council that if the Homeowners Association, the golf members, cannot or will not make up the losses as described in Motion 1, that the Town of Oro Valley discontinue the 36-hole Pinata course, operating only the 18-hole Conquistador course, and return non-owned holes to the homeowners and repurpose the remaining holes. Maximum Town Oro Valley funding pending funding going forward with the 18-hole course should be capped at $500K per annum, using the existing supplemental sales tax. Again, what I ask is, what is your rationale, logic, and basis for recommending an option that the town manager staff has established would be more expensive than the 36 holes? How did you come up with the $500K cap? Have you considered the cost of repurposing? Third, and the best one of all, the Finance and Budget Commission recommends that the Town of Oro Valley Council redirect funds from the half percent sales tax currently in place to support golf and recreation, so money in excess of $750K per annum be placed in the general fund. Again, what is your rationale logic for advising council to redirect funds from the half percent? How do you envision making capital improvements by pay-as-you-go if you are diverting revenue from sales tax meant for those improvements? You disregarded the town staff projections and pro forma. I see no ideas or motions to make the golf course successful, to cut costs or improve revenues. It is obvious that your intent is to torpedo the success of the golf course. I consider these motions draconian, unacceptable, and irresponsible, bordering on extortion and financial malfeasance. I urge the Budget and Finance Commission to support and recommend to the council the town manager's proposal of PAYGO, interfund loan, and bonding to make the much-needed repairs and improvements to the golf course and community center for the success and benefit of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other blue cards? Was that the only one? No, okay. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Mr. Mayor, we're at the council liaison. If you have any comments that you'd like to...
No, my only comment is that we made some changes, I believe, at the last council meeting in terms of liaison assignments. So my tenure as a liaison to Budget and Finance Commission will end December 31st. Councilmember Nicholson will be the new councilmember liaison, and I've enjoyed participating in these meetings, getting acquainted with each of you. I appreciate your service, your dedication, and the value that you bring to our community on this commission. Thank you.
Well, it was nice to have you, Mayor, and sorry to lose you, but we're looking forward to working with Councilmember Nicholson, and so we'll reach out to him and try to get him up to speed and warm and comfortable with all of us here shortly. So thank you.
Thank you.
We're ready to move into the regular session agenda, and Kevin, I'm going to... item number one, review and approval of the October 15th, 2019 regular session meeting minutes. That was sent out to the commissioners beforehand. Do we have any comments, questions, concerns before we put that forward for a motion to approve? All right. So hearing none, if I can have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion approved, and those minutes are approved.
We need a vote.
Excuse me?
Okay.
With a motion to second, so we need a vote.
Yeah.
My
hearing aids may not be working so well.
Okay. It's okay,
ask for a vote, and then we'll say aye.
All right, so let's have a vote to approve the minutes.
Approved.
Aye.
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 All right. Approved unanimously. All right, let's move to item number two under the regular session, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2019-2020 financial update through September 2019. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to you, Kevin.
Okay, thank you. And actually, Wendy Gomez, our finance and budget administrator, will do the presentation on this.
I figured, but I didn't want to leave you out, so... Thanks,
Wendy. Thank you very much. So, good news. Everything in all of our funds continue to look very positive. Revenues trending at or over budget, and expenditures looking positive as well. So, again, all good news and signs today. Starting with the general fund through September, revenues of about $10.2 million compared to last year. About $8.5 million. Trending right on budget, actually a little over our actuals year to date, are about 26% of the budget amount of $39.4 million. On the expenditure side, our year to date actuals for the current year are $9.5 million compared to $8.3 million last year. Our budget amounts $41.9 million, so actually trending under budget. That's typical. Some highlights on the general fund, the revenue side, just touching on some areas that we are already estimating are going to exceed budget. Our local sales tax collections, we're expecting those to come in about $410,000 over budget, or just over 2%. That's due to construction sales tax collections. We were pretty conservative with those, and those are looking great year to date. And based on what we are anticipating for the rest of the year, our license and permit revenues. We are also estimating those to come in over budget by just over $200,000, or close to 11%. That's due to activity that we're seeing on both the residential and commercial side of development there. On our interest income revenues, we're estimating those to exceed budget by about $440,000. That's due to a pretty conservative budget that we set for those revenues, too, just accounting for potential volatility, but those earnings are looking very positive as well, and so we do expect those to come in over budget. And then on our expenditure side, those are estimated in the year under budget by a little over $200,000, or 0.5%, and that's due to personnel savings that we're estimating currently. Overall, we're looking at planned use of fund balance of just under $1.3 million. That brings our year-end fund balance estimated at $18.3 million, which to note is about, it's just under 44% of our budgeted expenditures, and our policy is 25%. Moving on to the highway funds, it's pretty standard there. Revenues are $1.1 million currently, compared to just under $900,000 in the previous fiscal year. Our expenditures are just under $400,000. They were higher last year due to some realignment that we've done in the highway fund. They recall during the budget process, we did some realignment with reallocating some of our administrative personnel that were previously in the highway fund, as well as our street maintenance personnel. They are now in the general fund as part of a realignment with our gas tax revenues in this fund. So that's the reason for the reduced revenues there. And those are trending on budget as well, everything in the highway fund. Highlights, some of the highlights in the revenue side are HERF gas tax revenues. This is unchanged from last month. We are expecting those to exceed budget by about $200,000. That's a one-time allocation that was approved in the final state budget. That's a flat amount that all cities and towns are receiving this fiscal year. Our total revenues are estimated to exceed budget by about $232,000. So the bulk of that is that HERF gas tax overage that we're looking at. Our expenditures in the highway fund are still estimated on budget for the time being. And our year-end fund balance, we're looking at an estimate of about $762,000.
Real quick question. Is the one-time allocation from HERF gas tax revenues, is that typical every year, or is that something unique?
I would consider that more unique. More unique, yeah. Yeah.
It's, usually it's the legislature taking money away from the cities and towns. Yeah. So,
So we shouldn't expect to see it again. I mean,
This is not considered a reset. This was just a one-time.
It's just a
one-time.
So you wouldn't use that in next year's budget. You would exclude that.
Moving on to the community center fund through September, revenues about on par with the previous fiscal year at $1.4 million. We have a budget amount of $6.7 million of revenues. On the expenditure side, just under at $1.6 million compared to where we were last fiscal year, which was about $1.7 million. And that's compared to a budget amount in the current year of $6.5 million. Some of the highlights for the fund, our revenues are estimated to come in over budget by about $125,000, or just under 2%. That's due primarily to the outside play on the member course that we've now factored into our year-end estimates, so that's the bulk of the overage, reason for the overage there. Our expenditures are estimated under budget by just under $60,000, or 0.9%. That's due to some estimates on our contracted operating expenditures, some savings here and there, those year-end estimates. Our total revenues in the fund are expected to exceed our total expenditures in the fund by just under $500,000, and that would bring our year-end fund balance to an estimate of just under $975,000 for the fiscal year.
So the outside play, is that, we're definitely seeing that happen.
We literally just started it 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. when the courses were reopened.
Did you do the membership renewals? Was it?
We did. I don't have the most current information, but we're over where we were this time last year. So I want to say if we were comparing, I think we're at 244 to 250 right now in terms of members. So we're doing okay. And last year, at least by November 1st or October-ish, we were at 217. So we seem to have gained some ground. We know we're going to lose a few people. Some people are aging out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're seeing some renewed interest.
Yeah. It's also not just the total number. It's also the types of membership.
Correct.
So those, as we move to a period of analysis and seeing if the policy changes have taken hold, at some point, it may be appropriate to think about what kind of metrics are presented in this to keep an eye on how things are going, whether it's how is our revenue compared to last year or the previous year. We just may want to think about realigning some of those columns and thinking about what those, what are the KPIs on both moving forward, so that people don't make up their own KPIs that aren't, really important, because it really is a revenue issue.
So we're about a quarter way through the year, and so revenues are over 25.9% and expenses are under 22.7%. Do you anticipate that trend to continue with both of those two components for the rest of the year?
It's a very positive sign, actually, that the revenues are over where we would expect them to be through this point of fiscal year, because usually the first few months of the fiscal year are a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great trend there. Assuming we don't see any signs that a slowdown or anything to that effect, so those are expected to kind of remain on trend with what we're seeing so far. The expenditures, sometimes those tend to trend under budget the first few months of the fiscal year as well, mm-hmm. just because departments ramping up with some of the projects and things they've got going on their end. It also depends on even our payrolls, where they happen to hit in the fiscal year. And so that's pretty typical, I would say, for them to be trending under budget at this point. We're very conservative with our year-end estimates there. We kind of hold off on plugging in too many savings, but we are seeing some areas where we know with quite a bit of certainty that we're going to see a little bit of personnel savings. So pretty typical.
Oh, good start. Congratulations, Mary. Hopefully it continues. And any commissioners have any other questions? All right, well, good. Thank you for the presentation. And that ends our discussion on that. Let's move to number three. And I know, Kevin, you're going to be leading this. You're requesting that the commission review the alternative expenditure limitation options, review eventually the staff's preferred option, and make a recommendation to town council. So I'm going to let you start off with that.
Okay, very good. So item number three is actually a memo from the town manager tasking the Budget and Finance Commission with review of the town's alternative expenditure limitation. And so per the operating procedures for the Budget and Finance Commission, there's a couple of very specific things that you guys look at: review of the annual budget, review of the capital. But it also allows that the town council can adopt a resolution asking for you to look at something specifically, or the town manager can do a written recommendation asking for you to look at a specific item. So that's what we have here tonight. Is the town manager has written a memo asking the Budget and Finance Commission to take a look at the alternative expenditure limitation options, review the manager's preferred option, and then ultimately make a recommendation to the town council. So the calendar for that is tonight we intend to go over some high-level details of what the expenditure limitation is, some of the challenges of the state-imposed expenditure limitation, and then at the next meeting we can get into some more detail on the numbers answer any questions that you may have come up with over the month period, and then either at that meeting or at the January meeting, come up with a recommendation from the commission to the council. So with that, that's item number three. If there's no questions on the memo, I can get into the item number four, which is the actual presentation.
Just a quick question about the calendar. I think if I think it out a little bit further, I guess eventually our ultimate point that we have to arrive at something, at least the town does, is the ballot measures in August. Is that
correct? August 2020.
So that would be when we'd have to get it onto the ballot for the voters to take a look at.
That's correct. Why we've given you the schedule that we have, because you're step one. Then we have a study session scheduled with the council on January the 22nd.
What date?
January 22nd. Okay. So that's going to council. Then the council needs to vote to put it on the ballot in February.
Okay.
That's why we have it backed up. And the reason why they have to vote that early is because we have a variety of required steps we have to follow with the recorder's office and elections and that sort of thing. We have to do a informational thing?
Publicity pamphlet.
Thank you, the publicity pamphlet, and has to be turned in, has to be translated. I mean, there's just a whole bunch. So our town clerk has put that entire schedule together, and then we backed in basically these next 2 months for the Budget and Finance Commission to deliberate, ask questions, and then make a recommendation, if you choose, to the town council.
Okay.
And so staff will present that at the next meeting, that detailed calendar.
Okay.
For the commission's review.
So we're step one.
You're step one? After me. After our evaluation.
Well, I know there's a lot behind the scenes. I'm not minimizing that whatsoever. And that's where I'm going to have probably more questions. We have to hit that August. That's what we want to do anyway.
Which means we have to hit February.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. On to item number four.
Yes. All right. Item number four on the agenda, you're going to present and discuss with us the state imposed expenditure limitation and options for the alternative expenditure limitations for the town. So I bet you have a presentation on that.
All right. Thank you. Just to give you a little background, the Arizona Constitution and Arizona Revised Statutes impose an expenditure limitation on every city, town, county government in the state of Arizona. And what they did is they took a baseline. So they selected the year of 1979, 1980, and that was your baseline year for your budget. As we'll get into in a little bit later, that creates some challenges for cities and towns, depending on what your budget was back in 1979, 80. If you had a very large capital project in that budget year, then you probably don't have an issue with the expenditure limitation. But if you were just having operating costs back in that year, like Oro Valley did, it does create some challenges. But fortunately, the state did identify that there's some options so that you didn't have to be under the state-imposed limitation. And they allowed four different options that we'll get into. So those 79-80 baseline expenditures, the State Economic Estimate Commission adjusts the limitation each year, and they do that based on a standard inflation rate. So that applies to every city and town. And that is basically since 1979-80, it's been a 300% increase in inflation. And that's something that the state calculates and gives us that number. We have no control over that. And then the second factor that they adjust is the population growth. So for Oro Valley, and this was included in your packet as an attachment, but in 1978, Oro Valley's population was 1,475. Our budget was $272,000. So those are the numbers that they basically plug into this formula. They take that $272,000 budget, multiply it times that inflation rate of 300%, and then our population has grown from 1,475 to 44,517, and that was the 2017 number that they used here. So that's a factor of 30 that our population has gone. So they do that each year, and then that is the city and town's new expenditure limitation. They did exclude expenditures from certain revenue sources from the expenditure limitation. So if you go out and issue $10 million worth of bonds, the expenditures that occur from those bond proceeds are not subject to the expenditure limitation. In addition, interest income is not subject to the expenditure limitation. So anything that we get in from interest income can be spent above and beyond our state-imposed expenditure limitation. Grants that we get from the federal government or the state government do not apply under the expenditure limitation, and intergovernmental revenues that are subject to another entity's expenditure limitation. So if we get money from Pima County and those funds are subject to their expenditure limitation, they're not subject to our expenditure limitation. So those are the only four exceptions to the expenditure limitation that we can go through and adjust for. So what does that mean? Currently, for fiscal year 19-20, that's where we're at, our expenditure limitation, our actual expenditure limitation is about $25 million. Plus the exclusions from the revenues on that previous slide get us up to a total expenditure limitation plus exclusions of a little over $40 million for this fiscal year. Our current year budget is $111 million. So as you can see, if we were not on the home rule option, we would have to be cutting $70 million out of our budget in order to live under the state-imposed expenditure limitation. So as you can see, it doesn't grow very significantly. So 4 years out, we're estimating that the expenditure limitation would be about $44-45 million.
Kevin, quick question. Does this only apply to the general fund for any particular town or city, or does it also include other?
It's for all funds of the city or town. So your gas tax, our community center fund, capital project funds, any dollars that the city or town spends is subject to this expenditure limitation.
Okay.
Including enterprise funds for the water.
Including enterprise funds for the water. So, yes, that's a good point. Right now, we're projecting that our expenditure limitation is about $40 million. Our water fund expenditures are over $21 million. Right. Just to provide that basic need of that infrastructure of water would use up more than half of our expenditure limitation.
So there's no adjustment for the fact that you're doing different things today than you did 20 years ago.
Exactly. So why doesn't the state-imposed limitation work in Oro Valley? Well, number one, it assumes that 79-80 budget provided sufficient service levels. Back in 1979, the residents weren't requiring or demanding the same type of services that they're requiring today. And one of those items was water service. We have a private water company. So in that $270,000 budget, there was no expenditures for water. We have since taken on the requirements for the water utility, but that's not been reflected in our state-imposed expenditure limitation. They only adjust it for population and inflation. They do not adjust it because we took on a utility that we did not have back in 1979-80. It doesn't account for new revenue sources. So back then, we didn't have impact fees that helped pay for infrastructure for new growth. Again, the additional water revenues that we're collecting that weren't collected back then. And then any increases in the sales tax rate that have occurred. The state imposed limitation doesn't adjust for that. It just assumes that budget of $272,000 was adequate based on the growth in population and inflation. And it doesn't account for any increases in commercial activity. I was trying to think back what commercial enterprises we had back in 1978, 79, and there probably wasn't a whole lot of commercial activity in the town. And we've become a regional shopping destination. People come from out of the area to shop in our community. And so that, again, isn't factored into to the state-imposed limitation that additional commercial activity that we're recognizing. So as I mentioned earlier, the state did have the foresight to include some alternative options. There's four of them. The first one is the home rule option. That allows the town to set its expenditure limitation at whatever it adopts its budget at for that given year. So it gives complete local control to the town. Whatever council decides the budget is becomes our state-imposed expenditure limit. Oro Valley has been on the home rule option for 40 years. By the time that the current option that we're on expires, it'll be 40 years that we've been on that option. It must be approved by the voters, and with home rule, it has to be approved every 4 years. So we have to take it back to the voters every 4 years for them to re-up our home rule expenditure option. Second, option is a permanent base adjustment. And the permanent adjustment, as the name would indicate, is a permanent change in that $292,000 budget we had back in 1979 and '80. It does require approval of the voters, but it just requires it one time. So once they give us that authority, we go back and change that budget amount back in 1979, factor in the population and inflationary increases, then you come up with a new expenditure limitation. And then every year as your population grows and inflation grows, that number will continue to grow. Some of the benefits of the permanent base adjustment, there is a reduction of election costs. We just have to do it the one time, not go back to the voters every 4 years. That's probably about $15,000 to $20,000 just for an election on the home rule. And then there's some significant additional staff time preparing for that election, preparing the publicity pamphlet. So you're probably looking at, you know, easily $20,000 to $30,000 staff time preparing for that home rule every year, or every 4 years. So the permanent base adjustment, you would just do that one time, and as long as that adjustment is adequate, you wouldn't have to come back to the voters. Yes.
So with the permanent base adjustment, you would determine a number. You would determine a number, and that number stays on this piece of paper till you do it again.
Correct.
Okay. And to determine that number, you know, getting ahead of myself a little bit, would you do it so that it was, so that it gives you wiggle room? You know what I'm saying?
Like longevity. How
is there
some longevity? Yeah. Yes.
You'd probably look out at least 20 years and want to know what our projected budget would be 20 years from now and make sure that that expenditure limitation adjustment would cover us. Because you can go back out and do a permanent base adjustment. It's just you don't want to do
right.
it very frequently.
Right. So is there a risk, and maybe you know about this because you've probably been through this kind of stuff, is there a risk then in doing, and you want to get the right, you want to right size it, right? You don't want to get it too high, or is the town going to say, well, no, we're not going to pay that, you know, we're not going to approve that. Right, so is that a concern about?
I mean, certainly a solid communications campaign with the community is really important.
Uh-huh.
But what's going on right now is we're communicating with them every 4 years, and they're confused every 4 years.
Right.
Let's confuse them once.
Yeah.
Come back to them about 24 years.
Yeah.
And then we can let them know kind of what it is. Once we get out, I mean, it's past 75-80%, I think, in Oro Valley every single
question.
Time.
How
very strong.
Okay.
So and the reason why we're coming this particular year is because we're in between the home rule that was passed last year and when we have to do it in 4 years, so that if for some reason we're not successful in communicating, although I think we will be, but if for some reason we weren't, we're not stuck, we could still go back and, you know,
do the home.
Exactly, and do the home rule. So that's why strategically, if we didn't do it this year, then my recommendation would be that we wait 4 more years.
Yeah. Too risky.
Too risky.
Okay, so the home rule is still in effect, even if the PBA... And
correct.
Well, oh no, only for 1 more year. So for 1 more year, because in...
Two more years. Yeah. It would be, if approved by the voters, then the new permanent phase adjustment
that
would take over.
Yeah, that would
but if not approved, then the home rule would continue until...
It expires.
2022. Okay.
And then the final advantage of the permanent base over the home rule is it does provide some stability. You don't have to go back to the voters every 4 years. You get it approved one time. And as you mentioned, as long as we're reasonable in what that expenditure limitation is, it does provide you the stability and not having to go back every 4 years.
So I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
So if you approve the permanent base adjustment option, and then going forward, your budget is limited by your population change and inflation. But say you wanted to add something, and I'll just use the water as an example. Maybe there's something else, I don't know what, but you know, something out there.
Electricity.
Whatever. Then would that be a problem? Like then would you have to go back over, start over again?
It depends.
Like how is that?
If we projected, let's say we want to do, we want to do 20 to 25 year shelf life of this permanent mm-hmm. base adjustment. If we came in sometime in year 4 and said, hey, we have this really amazing opportunity and it's going to take up, we might then dig into that capacity. So instead of it being 25 year, it might turn into a 10 year.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're trying to give it a shelf life, which would give us the capacity. And then if it was something that was pretty awesome, you know, hey, we're going to have our own electric utility generation thing, then we could go back out at the appropriate time in the future and readjust with the explanation of, hey, we didn't know we were going to do this, now we did, and we need to do this again. So permanent is... Permanent sounds so permanent, but permanent just means a permanent change to the underlying number from that 1979-80. That's all we're changing.
Right.
The base number.
Right. But have you looked at, and you probably have, going back, I can explain what I want to say. If you go year over year, say you looked at the past 15 years, and you took and you factored in inflation mm-hmm. and population change of those years, how many years did we go a lot higher? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many years was our next year's budget a factor higher than what it should have been based on?
Every year.
Okay. All right. So,
absolutely.
Okay. So then what that tells me then, because if you start and you get this right number, okay, that we're going to change this to in this sheet, it's got to really be high enough to be able to take those increases if you're going over every year, right?
Well, the reason why we went over every year is because we were starting with $282,000.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you, say you went 15 years back and you said, okay, the budget in, what year is it now? Say you started...
2004 to 2005.
So say you started then, mm-hmm. you started 2005, and the budget that year was X. And then if you laid out the next 15 years... And you said, if that budget is X, increase it every year for population and inflation, and what does that get you for the year 2020?
Kevin's
see what I'm saying?
Doing some of the math and the calculations, so we're not prepared to tell
okay.
you what that number is going to
okay.
be at this point.
But you see what I'm asking?
Yes.
What I'm asking is how much are we really increasing over that? And I understand the number from back in 1978 is ridiculous. Of course, you're not going to be anywhere near that. But how, say you went back 10 years mm-hmm. or 15 years, how much more are we increasing? And making sure that that number you're going to go start with gives you enough for that, for those extra increases. Because, I mean, you know, the last thing you'd want to do is do this and then 2 years later go, oops, we, you know. So I don't know. I'm just throwing out just some thoughts.
You're starting on that.
Yes. So so that's what some of the additional detailed financial analysis is that we'll go over next meeting. But you're absolutely right. You want to make sure that that amount is adequate to grow into.
Right.
But even as we go back and change it, our population is going to increase and inflation is going to continue.
Right.
So even that number is going to increase.
Right.
So just as an example, if we did a permanent base adjustment and we went back and said our budget in 79-80 was $1.5 million, mm-hmm. that would give us an expenditure limitation today of about $140 million.
Okay.
So that's kind of how we'll back into it. We'll figure out what we want
right.
the current budget
right.
to be,
right.
have enough
right. Right.
of that excess capacity in there, and then we'll go back and calculate what the number needs to be to get
okay.
to that number.
And if you think about it, people hear $1.5 million permanent base adjustment, like that doesn't even, like, oh, okay, if you check $140 million, that's,
yeah.
you're starting to,
right.
So, but you're right, those are the things we'll go.
Just to make sure that it's enough, right, that it's going to allow you to grow,
exactly,
right?
Because we're literally having to change that number. So we still have to utilize this 1979.
Right, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand it. Yeah.
Right, so that, but that's what the whole, that's exactly what that spreadsheet analysis is going to do
okay.
is, you know, where will it get us and what does that level need to be for us to survive?
I think that's going to be
the only entity that is allowed to put a measure in front of the people regarding the permanent base adjustment, the city.
The council, yes.
The council. So
yeah.
no one else can petition something to change the number and put it up as a substitute number.
Not to my knowledge. I suppose somebody could do a initiative petition, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a lot of local support to do all that would be, you know, need in order to get signatures for an initiative petition. But let's just say I've never heard of that happening, ever. Yeah.
But our responsibility here as this commission is to get to that number and then make that recommendation to the councilor.
We're tasking you, what I'm tasking you with is to evaluate, and that's the whole picture,
mm-hmm.
and make a recommendation to council. So yeah, you're going to want to delve into the dollars, as well as the mechanism.
Right.
Do you have any history on other? You can see in here that I don't know whatever percent of these people cities are on home based adjustment. It seems like it's maybe going in that direction. Is there any history on whether these have had trouble passing or if they pass with a high percentage?
Most of them pass with a high percentage. I would say there's about half, give or take, maybe just slightly under communities who do the permanent base adjustment so that they don't have to go back out every 4 years.
Right.
Other communities, but there have been, I'm trying to remember the last time, there absolutely have been instances when home rule has not passed.
When home rule has not passed?
Home rule has not
passed.
Gosh,
if you look at those numbers, it's about a 10 times... going from the 78 number to
yes.
what the budget is, probably an average of 10 times.
Exactly.
Wow.
So there are instances where that has happened. You recall them as well, don't you?
Town of Florence was recently, they didn't pass theirs.
Yeah.
So what's the consequence in that case when the budget has to be this lower number? What if you go over it?
What you have to do, what the communities have to do is, first of all, those exemptions at the beginning, some of them get real creative in their financing. They decide to bond for capital projects,
mm-hmm.
right? So then that frees up that money, and then they quickly get back out to the, that's really your best mechanism, and that's, I think, did it happen in Pima County too? I don't remember. Tucson, for sure. And so they went back and bonded a whole bunch of things since it was exempt and took that out of the, got them back up, and then you just have to make those
do believe there's fines if you exceed your limitation.
I mean, it's not something that as the manager I would recommend us not being in compliance with state law. But
so
it's
here's,
an impact.
Here's what I think, though, is I think you're bringing in a large amount of revenues. If the expenditure limitations goes down to 10% of your existing budget, you're going to be sinking in money, right? I mean,
exactly.
It just doesn't make sense.
Stop us from collecting.
You're still collecting
exactly.
All these revenues. It really makes no sense, right?
Welcome to our world. Yeah. A 1978 bill that was passed by the legislature that was, I'm sure, well-intended at the time.
And there's no thought of recalibrating the start point, kind of doing a permanent-based adjusting everybody to start?
There was one in the early 2000s. Do you remember?
I don't remember that, no.
Oh, no. Sorry, that had to do with with resetting on property taxes. I'm trying to remember. So let's just say that I'm certain that the issue has been raised at the legislature and it simply hasn't gotten traction.
Yeah, and their position is they've given
tools.
Towns an option.
You have an out, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So they don't want to.
I can imagine the arguments.
Okay.
And you brought up a good point that you're exactly right. The revenues would continue to come in. So it doesn't change tax rates. It doesn't change.
You could have so much money when
you're
in this.
You just couldn't spend it on the services that the residents would want. Mm-hmm. Until you could go back out in 2 years and do another election.
So at the next meeting, we will delve into the projections and the numbers of. It seems like the permanent base adjustment does require some strong safeguards against what you might be doing in the future. And you'll have to give that at least seems on the top surface. That's something we're really going to have to be sensitive to. And making sure that adjustment number is useful for how many years? 20 years? 25 years?
I'd shoot for sure 20 years, maybe more. I think you have some more slides to go through,
So there's two other options. There's a capital project accumulation fund and a one-time override. These are really useful where the state imposed limit is adequate for your operating budget. It isn't sufficient for your capital. So again, this must be approved by the voters, but this isn't a viable option for Oro Valley because we need the capacity on our operating budget. It isn't just a capital expenditure issue. So really, these are state options, but they're not viable for us. So the two options for Oro Valley are the home rule or the permanent base adjustment. And so with that, staff recommends that the permanent base adjustment option be placed on the August 2020 ballot. And then staff further recommends that the Budget and Finance Committee study the options and make a recommendation to the town council. And so, again, with that, staff will bring back some proposed numbers next time as far as, what our current year budget is. We'll do some multi-year forecasts of where we believe our budget is going. We'll be able to show you, what that would mean as far as the expenditure limitation and give you some proposed options as far as what we would recommend to adjust that 1979-80 number to give us the adequate capacity without going too far above and beyond. Like, for example, Surprise has a $1 billion expenditure limitation because they did such a large adjustment, but their voters allowed that to pass. They have the second highest expenditure limitation because they did such a large permanent base adjustment. So that will last them forever. but if you try to go something that high, you run the risk of, like you mentioned earlier, the voter saying, why do we need that high of an amount? I'm not going to vote for it. So it has to be a reasonable amount that will get you to that 25-year period.
So I would assume you would take a look at all of the different cities who have passed that and look at what the value is, what their budget is? I mean, is that something?
We could do that on a test basis, look at
a few
of them.
Just to kind of go, validate and benchmark, right?
Yeah, we'll be happy to go out and take a look at what everybody else has. But you know, it really is all about messaging.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And you know, the and we have a great communications team. We've done a great job in the past for home rules. You know, you go out, but it's an intensive effort. You know, we're at every rotary and you know that sort of thing to make sure everybody knows what's going on. And then when you really talk about it, it's like, yeah, if you don't pass this, yeah, we have to cut our budget by 70%. Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so I mean, I think we have the same messages that we can convey. We would just do it in a little bit different way. And since the number isn't our actual budget, right? Because that, you know, that number is like, what do you mean? Your budget's $111 million. You know, that seems really big. Since that number ends up probably under $2 million, it just, I think we have a real good case and chance for getting our community, who's very well informed, educated on making this adjustment. So, but this is why we're here before you. You are representatives of our community, and you get to play the devil's advocate as well. So that we're looking at things in a little bit different way, we bring forward some of these things, and I think it really helps to generate that that additional buy-in when we have our citizen committee saying, no, we looked at it, and we do recommend, or we prefer this number over this number, you know, or whatever. So, you know, it's clearly financial, and it's related to our future finances in the town. So, seemed like a good fit.
Yeah, I have a question. You mentioned messaging and taking things to the community. Do you intend that to be a staff project, or are you looking? You know, when we've done similar things, and I've served on committees in Oregon, where we've known we were going to the voters with a project, we ended up identifying leaders in the community to form a committee to do the legwork of writing the editorials and taking the positions and leaving the staff to the factual basis of, well, this is what it would do, and this is the numbers, and then letting the, what I'll call the campaign, be done by another group. Is that the structure you intend to use?
We are prohibited by state law for advocating for a vote.
Okay.
So we can't. What we can do is go out and provide that factual information. And I'm certainly familiar with the same process, you know, where a school district has an, you know, is doing an override or a capital, you know, bonding or something like that, and then there's a citizens group.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be separate.
Yep.
They then create their own PAC, they raise money, they put signs out, you know, that sort of thing in order to do that. On this particular issue, the town has never been in a position, because it's passed 75% or 80% every single time, it's never gone in the direction of it being political, where you had an advocate group putting signs up and that sort of thing. It really has always gone, my understanding, you know,
sure,
because I haven't been very
long, the numbers.
is that it really has just kind of gone under the radar with that very objective presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Staff presentation, the council, you know, use all of our communication efforts that we can. I'd have to think about it a little bit more, but I think that this change would probably warrant that same approach. Depoliticize, we're overcoming what is, you know, now a completely outdated state law that we have to fix if we want to continue to have this great level of service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. We don't want to come back to you every 4 years. We'd like to do this once so you don't see us on this again. And I think we could probably do that well with a, you know, good messaging information campaign. Because it's not a
persuasive.
Political, right. It's not a persuasive campaign. It's an information campaign. And so that's, you know, because all of our documents, all of our sheets have to be reviewed by the attorney to make sure that they don't go over that
sure.
line that you draw that says information only versus advocacy. And so everything is reviewed, you know, line by line, and then that outreach. But the
that whole issue of getting community people informed, right? You are members of the community, so that if somebody did call you and say, hey, David, what do you know about this? And, you know, would you come and tell my church group about it? You can say, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. Then you can say, I think we ought to vote for it, but we can't do that.
Right.
So.
Kevin, presentation, anything further? Or?
That's the end of my presentation.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. And we got a lot to learn.
Right. We'll be busy
forward to next month. Any other questions from the commissioners? Okay. Well, we'll get to work on it. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's see. Future agenda items. In the minutes that we just approved at the start of the meeting, we have a number of agenda items which we have recognized, and Kevin gave us an update on a couple of them. Are there any additional future agenda items that commissioners would like to bring to the table and have considered in future meetings?
I think we anticipated our pension report to come back for December. Is that still anticipated?
Yes, the PSPRS typically gets their report out in early December.
Okay. I think you mentioned that at the last meeting that we would have probably have that no later than January. I did find that news, David, regarding the results of last year's returns from the commission, and it was not very encouraging. But more to say, that's just public public information. Other future agenda items? All right, having none, we'll move forward with those items from this last meeting. At this time, the commission will go into executive session. And under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, the scope of this commission's powers and duties will be discussed. And at this time, commissioners, Mr. Cohen, Kevin, I believe you're going to be in this. Mayor, I'm not sure if you're in this or not.
Not sure if I am either.
Can be. Yeah. You'd like to be.
Yeah, I'll be. Okay.
So you're still the liaison, so lucky you. And Mary, you'll be here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it.
I think Ronnie will come in and take notes.
Yes.
Okay.
And technically, we need a motion and a second and a vote to go into executive session.
All right. So, well, I have a motion from one of the commissioners.
Motion we go into executive session.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We are now. Take a 2-minute break and we'll resume the executive session.